God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. All of us probably know people who do not speak with the same accent with which they were raised. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you grew up in a certain region of the country and you have intentionally trained yourself away from the accent that you grew up using. That may be good or bad, but all of us realize that we are, to some extent, defined by our genetics, by our upbringing, by our place of birth. I am an American. I live in Tennessee. My name is Rice. All these are markers that kind of define a little bit of how I sound, what I do, maybe to some extent how I think. The question is, should those be the main markers? Have you ever been out of the country and someone pegged you immediately as an American, or somewhere else in this country and someone immediately pegged you as a Tennessean, or somewhere in the city and someone immediately pegged you as a Smith, a Jones, or in my case, a Rice? Is that good or bad? Well, it is. In fact, you know, the older we become, sometimes the more like ourselves we become. That is, the more we kind of give in to our natural instincts and our own inclinations. Sometimes we are so very intently running from a dad or a mom, trying to be different from them, that we end up being exactly like them. Now look, here's the point I'd like to make this morning that Titus actually makes, the book of Titus. And that is, you will either live down to your genetics or up to God's grace. Now, there's no doubt. I mean, I thank God that I'm American. I love Tennessee, and I'm very thankful to be a Rice. However, am I to believe that those are the only things that define and determine what I am? Are we just primates that live for a short time, then just dissolve into the earth? Are we nothing but animated bodies moving through space? Or is there more than that? In Titus, God is trying to tell us that His grace is capable of making more of us than merely the sum total of our, you know, our genetics, our attributes, our family. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." So it's not just that they're profitable to me. I have faith. That's great. That doesn't help other people. My faith animating my works, that's what helps other people. So he says, they which have believed in God. These are believers. These are not just Christians. These are not just people from a certain family. These are believers, Jew or Gentile, regardless of what family they're in. And they're to be careful to maintain good works, virtues that only God Himself can produce. Again, in verse 14, the Bible says, "And let ours," that is, let those that are believers, are, you know, part of our group, God's family, "let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." So in verse 8, he's talking about good works, meaning virtues. In verse 14, he's talking specifically about the virtue of a good work ethic. So good works means both your virtues, and good work means you're a good worker. It means both. Now, this is especially important because that was not the stereotype of the Cretans. Talking about false teachers in chapter 1, whose mouths should be stopped, Paul says in verse 12, "One of themselves, even a prophet of their own," so he's quoting one of their own prophets, said, quote, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." So as opposed to what they were to be, they weren't blameless. They were liars. You know, in the ancient world, to play the Corinthian meant to live a perverse life, to live immorally. It was so tied to what the Corinthians generally were that the stereotype was when you said someone was playing the Corinthian, they were living immorally. For those that lived on Crete, to cretinize meant literally to be a liar. Now look, there may be natural propensities that you have as an American or as a Tennessean or as a Smith, Jones, Rice, whatever. But you're more than the sum total of your genetics and your upbringing. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you belong to Christ, you'll either live down to your genetics or up to God's grace. And that's the whole point. Chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Live soberly. You know, that's a theme that you find throughout the book. He addresses the clergy. And what were the clergy to be? Well, they were to be, verse 8, sober. That is, clear-minded, self-controlled. He mentions all the ages, old men, old women, young men, young women. And in almost every case, he says that they are to be either sober-minded or sober-living in one case. He mentions servants in verse 9 and says that their testimony is to reflect well on Christ. He says that whether you're clergy or regardless of your age or whether you're a servant, we are to show to the outside what is true of the inside, and that is we belong to God. By God's grace, we have been saved. Let the word of God be not blasphemed, chapter 2, verse 5. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, chapter 2, verse 8. That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, chapter 2, verse 10. In other words, my life is to beautify the truth. Two themes you find throughout the book of Titus is sound doctrine and sober living, and they go together. Sound doctrine as opposed to foolish questions and strivings about the law that are unprofitable. Instead of being unprofitable, I am to live a life of good works that are good and profitable unto other people. You see, friend, as a believer in Christ, I am accepted in Christ. I am accepted in the Beloved One. I am accepted in Christ, not because I'm great, but because He is gracious. He died for my sins, He was buried, and He rose again. I'm accepted, but I need to be acceptable in my living. I'm to be honest. I'm to be chaste. I'm to be loving. I'm to be courageous. I'm to be a number of things that are specifically mentioned in the book of Titus. So I'm accepted by God, but my life needs to be acceptable unto God. As the last part of the last verse of this chapter says, Titus 3:15, "Grace be with you all. Amen." So regardless of what country you come from, what state you live in, or what family you were raised in, there's something higher, more noble, more powerful if we will but submit to the grace of God in our lives. You'll either live down to your genetics or up to God's grace. And because we are eternal beings created by a holy God, we can live a life that we could not. We can live a life that we would not. We can live the life that Jesus Christ did live and will live through us to the extent that we are submissive to Him every day.